Have you ever seen 10,000 airplanes try to land at the same airport in the same week? I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar, and if you have not started planning your trip to Oshkosh yet, we need to fix that right now, because EAA AirVenture 2026 is less than 3 months away, and I'm already losing sleep over it. Let me take you there. Because if you have never been, you cannot imagine what this is like, and if you have been, you already know exactly what I'm about to say, and you are nodding your head right now. Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, for 51 weeks of the year. It is a quiet little field, two runways, a few hangars. Nice enough, nothing crazy, but for 1 week at the end of July it becomes the busiest airport on the planet. Not one of the busiest. The busiest. More operations than O'Hare, more operations than Hartsfield, more operations than Heathrow, and almost every single airplane coming in is flown by a private pilot in a general aviation aircraft, following a procedure that exists nowhere else in aviation. The Fisk arrival. This is the thing I want to talk about today, because if you are planning to fly into AirVenture this year, this procedure is unlike anything you have ever done, and if you're not planning to fly in, maybe this will change your mind. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. You fly into Oshkosh for the first time, that deserves a coin. AviationSoul.com. Okay, so here's what happens. You are inbound from wherever you're coming from. Could be Florida, could be Texas, could be two states over, doesn't matter. At some point, you tune into the Oshkosh ATIS frequency and you hear the arrival procedure. The Experimental Aircraft Association, or EAA, publishes a special notice to air missions every year just for this event. It is its own document, pages long, and it changes everything you know about how airplanes talk to airports. Because here is the wild part, you do not talk.
That's right. The Fisk arrival is a no-radio procedure for the initial approach. You're monitoring the frequency, you're listening, but you are not transmitting. Because if 1,600 airplanes all tried to call in at once, the frequency would be a wall of noise. So instead, the controllers talk to you, they identify you by type and wing color. I'm not kidding, they will say things like white and blue Cessna over the gravel pit, rock your wings, and you rock your wings. And they tell you which runway to go to. Think about that for a second. You're in a line of airplanes, dozens of them, stretched out over miles of Wisconsin farmland. Everyone is at 1,800 feet above sea level. Everyone is doing 90 knots, or if you are a faster aircraft, you are on a different arrival corridor doing 135. You're looking out the window at airplanes ahead of you, airplanes beside you, airplanes behind you, and a controller on the ground is picking you out of this aerial conga line by the color of your paint. It is the most intense VFR flying you will ever do, and it is absolutely incredible. Here is how it works. You fly to a point called Ripon, that is a little town southwest of Oshkosh. You pick up a railroad track, yes, a railroad track. You follow that railroad track northeast toward Fisk. The whole time you're supposed to be in trail behind the airplane ahead of you at a half-mile spacing. You're supposed to have your landing light on. You're supposed to be exactly at the published altitude and airspeed, and all around you are other airplanes doing the same thing. I remember my first Fisk arrival and I could not believe what I was seeing. I looked out the left window and there was a Piper Cherokee, looked right and there was a Beechcraft Bonanza. Ahead of me, a little Cessna 150 chugging along. Behind me, I don't even know, I was trying not to think about behind me, and every single one of us was following this railroad track like our lives depended on it, because honestly, they kind of did.
When you get to Fisk, that is where the controllers start working their magic. They have a mobile tower set up right there, and they are watching this river of airplanes flow past. They will call out to specific aircraft. Sometimes they wave you off to a hold pattern. Sometimes they sequence you straight in. You might get runway 27, you might get runway 36, you might get sent to one of the colored dots painted on the runway and told to land there, because they are running simultaneous operations on the same runway with different touchdown points. Multiple airplanes, same runway, different colored dots at the same time. The first time you see this, your brain kind of short circuits. It should not work. It looks like chaos, but it works. It works because the controllers are phenomenal. It works because the pilots follow the procedure, and it works because everybody understands that this 1 week a year, Oshkosh operates on a different set of rules. Now let me tell you what is waiting for you when you land, because the arrival is just the appetizer.
You taxi off the runway, and a volunteer in a bright orange vest is waving you forward. You follow them. They lead you down a taxiway and out onto the grass. Whitman Regional becomes a grass parking lot for thousands of airplanes, rows and rows and rows, experimentals parked next to vintage tail draggers, parked next to brand new Cirrus SR-22s, parked next to home builds that took 15 years to finish. You shut down, you tie down, and you step out onto what might be the greatest airplane parking lot in the history of flight. And then you look around and it hits you. You are at Air Venture.
The grounds stretch out in every direction. There is a main exhibition area with hundreds of vendors. Garmin is there, Dynon is there, Bose, ForeFlight, every avionics and aircraft manufacturer you can think of. There are static display areas where you can walk right up to a P-51 Mustang and touch the wing, where you can look inside a restored B-25 Mitchell and imagine what it was like to sit in that bombardier's seat over the Pacific. There are rows of home-built aircraft in the judging area, each one representing years of someone's life spent in a garage with a rivet gun and a dream. But the real magic happens in the air. The daily air show at Oshkosh runs for hours. Hours. This is not a two-act air show with a 30-minute intermission. This is a full afternoon of flying that starts around 2:30 and does not stop until sunset. You will see aerobatic acts that defy physics. You will see warbird formations that shake the ground. You will see military demonstrations. In years past, the Air Force Thunderbirds have flown. The Blue Angels have flown. The F-22 Raptor solo demo. The F-35, the B-2 Spirit. Imagine sitting in a lawn chair on a warm Wisconsin afternoon and watching a stealth bomber cruise overhead so low you can see the intake geometry. I have been to a lot of air shows, a lot, and nothing compares to Oshkosh. Nothing. The sheer volume of flying is staggering. They will launch warbird formations with a dozen airplanes or more. T-6, Texans, P-51 Mustangs, Corsairs, Hellcats. The sound alone is worth the trip. 24 cylinders of Pratt and Whitney R2, 800 radial engines screaming at full power on a flyby. You feel that in your ribcage. And then at night, the grounds do not shut down. They transform. There is theatre in the woods where EAA screens movies and hosts talks. There is the fly-in theatre where people camp under the wings of their airplanes and watch films projected on a big screen. Thousands of people camp right there on the airfield. They pitch tents next to their airplanes. They fire up little camp stoves and cook dinner while the sun sets behind a row of Cessnas.
The camping culture at Oshkosh is its own thing entirely. You will meet people who have been coming for 30 years straight. They have the same spot. They know their neighbours. They have traditions. Friday night fish fry in the campground. Saturday morning pancake breakfast hosted by one of the EAA chapters. Somebody always has a guitar. Somebody always has a story about the year. The weather came in and everyone was stuck for 2 extra days and it turned into the best Oshkosh of their life. Now 2026. What is happening this year specifically? EAA has been building momentum. Last year's attendance numbers were enormous. The show keeps growing, and every year the featured attractions evolve. One thing I'm watching closely is the electric and advanced air mobility presence. Every year there are more eVTOL aircraft on the grounds, more electric propulsion displays, more panel discussions about the future of flight. Oshkosh has always been where the aviation world comes to show what is next, and right now what is next involves batteries and electric motors and aircraft that look like nothing we have seen before. You are going to see prototypes on the static line that look like science fiction, and then you're going to walk 50 yards and see a Stearman biplane from 1942 and be reminded where all of this started, that contrast. That is Oshkosh. You'll also see the ultralight and light sport area, which is one of my favorite corners of the entire event. These are the little airplanes, the scrappy ones, the ones people built in their basements, the powered parachutes and the weight-shift trikes and the single-seat experimentals that cost less than a used car. The pilots in this area are some of the most passionate people you will ever meet, because they did not buy their way into aviation. They built their way in, talk to them, hear their stories. That guy in the lawn chair next to the little yellow tube and fabric airplane that looks like a flying go-kart. He hand-stitched every inch of that fabric in his living room. His wife thought he was insane. He flew it to Oshkosh. He is having the time of his life.
Let me talk about the food for a second, because you're going to be there for a week and you are going to eat a lot. The bratwurst at Oshkosh is legendary,
There are multiple food vendor areas, and the Wisconsin brat with sauerkraut and mustard is basically the official meal of Air Venture. There is also cheese, because Wisconsin there are cheese curds. Deep-fried cheese curds if you want to go full festival mode. There is corn on the cob, there are food trucks, and there is the infamous EAA pancake breakfast, which has been happening for decades. Thousands of people line up in the morning fog to eat pancakes cooked on giant griddles while airplanes taxi past behind them. Where else on earth do you eat pancakes while a T-28 Trojan rolls by 20 feet away? Nowhere. That is the answer. Nowhere, if you are thinking about going for the first time this year. Here is what I want you to know. Start reading the notice to air missions now. The EAA publishes the arrival and departure procedures well in advance. Study them, know them cold. Practice flying at 90 knots in your airplane before you go. Know what that looks like, what that feels like, what power setting that takes. Because when you are in the Fisk arrival sequence with airplanes all around you, you do not want to be figuring out your slow flight configuration for the first time. Bring camping gear if you're flying in. The best experience at Oshkosh is sleeping under the wing of your airplane. Yes, it is hot. Yes, it might rain. Yes, you will be exhausted every night. You will not care. You will be surrounded by other pilots living the same dream. Bring comfortable shoes. The grounds are massive, and you will walk miles every single day. Bring sunscreen. Bring a hat. Bring a portable phone charger, because you are going to take more photos than you thought possible. And bring an open mind, because you are going to see things at Oshkosh that rewrite what you think aviation is. You're going to meet people who will become lifelong friends. You're going to stand on that flight line at golden hour watching a formation of warbirds pull into the break overhead, and you're going to feel something you cannot put into words.
That is Air Venture. That is Oshkosh. And it is coming up fast. This one draws from the EAA's own published arrival procedures, years of Air Venture coverage, and honestly a lot of personal ramp time at Whitman Regional. Hit up radiohanger.com for more Oshkosh 2026. Last week of July, I'll see you on the grass. This is Ramp. Go fly something.